welcome you in to another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shopton, C70 at the bat, at C70. And with me, as always, Tara Wellman, Birdseeds, at Tara Wellman, and purveyor of great hotel stories. anytime you want to know, just don't travel with Tara. That's just basically, let's just boil it down. Tara.
Probably safe.
Yeah, safest. Tara, back from Lake Placid, to talk Cardinal baseball with us. And before we get into the story that has been the story for about 6 weeks now, the Cardinals did actually make a trade this week. It wasn't the trade we were thinking it was going to be, but Alamedes Diaz goes to the Blue Jays right before the non-tender deadline, brings back a minor league outfielder of middling repute, it seems like. Were you surprised to see Diaz go?
You know, I think there were two things. For me, the 900th outfielder seems a bit unnecessary. And the lacking infield depth seems like a potential place for Diaz to at least have some sort of role, whether it's everyday or as a bench player for the Cardinals. However, I think it became very clear last year that once Diaz was off the scene in St. Louis, I don't know, I kind of found myself forgetting about what he was doing or the fact that he wasn't there. And I don't know that that's a great sign for a guy who's trying to claim a job, that people can just forget that he's an option. There was such a rapid decline from the magical season that he had that was so improbable in so many ways that I'm not necessarily surprised that the Cardinals felt like it was safe to move on from him at that point. But I do think that they have not typically pulled the plug this quickly on someone who had that kind of season. See Alan Craig and Stephen Piscotty, and Colton Wong for that matter. They have a tendency to give someone a chance to rebound and figure it out after a down year coming off of their season, to write home about. So, I was a little surprised that it happened so almost under the radar, and in return for something that seems like the least, needed depth that this team has at the moment. But, I don't know that Diaz really was going to play a big role with this team anyway. So I don't, as hard as it is to, think that the one good season of Diaz is all that we get to see of him as a Cardinal, that, you know, it may be a time where Mo actually cut the cord a little early and didn't burn himself on the back end.
It's possible, and we'll have to wait and see the results. You know, it sounds like Diaz is going to be more of a backup in Toronto as well, although maybe he gets some full-time stuff. And you know, I mean, it's like, Mo's just like, you know, the rest of us, you know, if there's something Star Wars, I have to get it. So apparently if there's an outfielder out there, Mo, you know, he's just adding it in to the collection.
He just wants them all.
Yeah. You know,
if you could have a whole team just of outfielders, that's probably his dream come true.
That's right.
Outfielders and pitchers.
Right.
That'd be perfect.
So, and they're bringing Jordan Schaefer back. So, you know, there outfielder you go. That can pitch.
That is like the culmination of all of John Mozeliak's hopes and dreams in the form of one human being.
I have no idea. They're going to keep him around until he shows something because of that.
Yeah.
I think that if Diaz had hit in Memphis last year, you know, maybe you could say, you know, there was, you know, some adjustments that he needed to make, or, you know, some of the injury. I think he had a little bit of a, you know, some injury problems as well. You could maybe talk yourself into, he's never going to be as good as 16, but he could be still a valuable piece and a good person to have around. But he was just so bad. In Memphis, and a guy that had torn up the National League shouldn't look that bad at AAA the next year. And I think that's just kind of what got to him is, and you know, for the fact that, you could argue how good it is, But there is a decent amount of depth at the middle infield spots right now. I mean, you've got Wong and DeJong starting. You've got Greg Garcia, who they can play those positions. You've got Matt Carpenter, who may be playing a lot of second or third, which is what Diaz would have been playing. You've got Valera, who's now on the 40-man. You've got Alex Mejia, who's not on the 40-man anymore, but is still in Memphis and available to come back up. So there are these guys that, mediocre bats and decent gloves. You know, right now, Diaz was a mediocre bat and not a decent glove. And so that kind of seemed to push him out of the way. So, who knows? So, yeah, maybe he'll recover his form. Maybe the fact that he's in the American League will help him for a while. It'd be great if it did, but it just didn't seem like that was going to be something that was going to happen in St. Louis. And, it is. It is a little strange to have that shooting star come through. And like you said, that they don't try try to squeeze every bit of it out. They just, and maybe that's a sign of this new mindset that the Cardinals have of, at least for right now, they needed to do a lot of turnover. They needed to do a lot of change. And maybe they needed that extra 40-man roster spot, too. We'll have to wait and see if that becomes an issue.
Yeah, and I think, some of these things that we've seen are sort of minimal changes. But I think you're right. I think there's a difference in approach in some of these things that we're seeing that, hopefully is a sign of things to come. We'll get into all the details, but even in the little bits and pieces we've gotten in the Stanton discussions, it does sound like they're approaching this much more aggressively than they have things in the past. So, we sort of felt like for a while that we were watching this train wreck happening and no one else could see it. What are you watching? You have to be seeing what I'm seeing, right? So this sort of seems to be an indication that they're definitely aware of the train wreck that the last couple of seasons has deteriorated into, and some of these smaller changes that are likely going to happen as a complement to whatever grander plans they have, those are all very important little steps along the way, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Trevor Rosenthal. We saw that earlier. Almost any other time, they would have signed him to some sort of 2-year deal and let him rehab and, get a year out of him. But, they just couldn't do that or weren't going to do that this time. They were going to be a little more focused, maybe a little bit more ruthless on things. And so far, it's so good. And that takes us into the big story, the Giancarlo Stanton sweepstakes, as you were, which feels somewhat like a free agency issue, even though it is a trade. The momentum on this seems to have shifted daily, and the mindset of Cardinal fans especially. One day it's great, one day it's terrible, and it's looking like San Francisco, and then the Cardinals, kind of rally, if you will. You noticed it most Thursday and Friday. Thursday, the Giants representatives met with them, but then Friday, the Cardinal representatives did. We have a report today that the Cardinals are actually offering more money than the Giants are, and they've always been offering the better prospects from what it sounds like. And Sandy Alcantara it seems to be the focus of whatever package they're putting together. So if this was any sort of normal deal, the Cardinals have it done.
Yeah.
It's not.
Nothing about this is normal.
Not at all. So I asked the question a while ago on Twitter, and I've gotten a mix of responses, but is it more frustrating in this situation where the Cardinals have done absolutely everything they could do, they've done everything right, and they still may not get their player, or is it more frustrating in times like the David Price situation or other free agency where they have, especially David Price, they, offered him quite a bit of money, $175, $185 million, whatever, and almost had him locked up just to see the Red Sox swoop in and grab him at the last minute. If to put that to you, which one of these is more frustrating to see the Cardinals come up short on, assuming they do come up short here?
For me, it's not really a contest. I think it's certainly encouraging as a fan to watch them go aggressively after what they want. The knock on the front office for the last however long it's been, really since Pujols left, is that they wouldn't go that extra step. They didn't want to overpay. They didn't want to overvalue someone and spend the extra money or give the extra year. We saw them veer a little bit away from that with Dexter Fowler last year, and surprise, they got the guy. It's crazy how when you come up to what the market standard is, you tend to get a little bit more flexibility in what you want. I think this situation is strange because it's not a normal trade. It's not a free agency signing where the best deal gets the signature on the dotted line. There's a whole other element at play here. And to me, what's almost most frustrating about this deal is this seemingly strange complex of people, when talking about the Midwest. But to answer your question, to me, it's dramatically more frustrating to watch the Cardinals, act interested and say that they're interested and say that they're going to pursue something aggressively and then just not go that little extra step than to put the best offer on the table, send in the big guns to talk to Stanton's representation and give them all the information they need. I don't know what's gone on behind the scenes for them to try to pitch St. Louis to Stanton and his reps, but it's from every indication they've gone at this every bit as aggressively and insistently as they told us they would. And to me, that's a much better option than watching this sort of magic bullet slip away because they're afraid to spend a little extra money.
And that's fair. But honestly, I find the Stanton issue more frustrating because of that, because they've done everything right, because they, you know, in any other situation would have their player. And then, you know, I mean, what else can you do? I mean, that's the thing. At least with Price, you can at least say, and maybe that's, you know, it's a different level of frustration. It's like, well, if they had only done this or they could have done that. But the Cardinal, you know, in Stanton, it's like, we have done every single thing we can do.
Right.
You know, this is, you know, we've given you all the money. We're giving you all the prospects. We're doing everything we can do. You know, if this is, you know, you should take this deal.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen. I mean, there's still a very strong chance it's not going to happen.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think it's frustrating in different ways. And I think in many respects, the two scenarios lead to being frustrated with different people, right? Because when the Cardinals let someone slip away because they don't make the best offer, then you're frustrated with the front office. Mm-hmm. But in this situation, it's almost just frustration with the lack of control. Because, I mean, if I'm in the Cardinals front office, this situation with Stanton is far more frustrating to me because the other scenario is still on my terms. But this scenario is everything that I can possibly do, everything that everyone wants it to be, and I'm still not in control of the situation. Mm-hmm. It's still sort of at the whim of the person in play here. So yeah, I mean, I think that the frustration is different. My frustration with the Cardinals as an organization is very different, and I would say exaggerated in the, say, the Price type scenario. Mm-hmm. But this situation is frustrating in a very different way because, you know, it seems like the Cardinals have finally decided to play hardball, and now that they're up against an opponent that won't make up their mind.
if I'm in the front office, I've got to start looking at this and look. I'm like, okay, we go out and we want to, you know, give big money to David Price, and then it gets taken away from us. So they go and offer more money than the Cubs, at least guaranteed, to Jason Hayward, and he won't take that. And now it's like, okay, well, let's do the trade route, and let's do everything we can here on the trade route, and you know, that may not happen. Yeah. And it's to the point where you got to start thinking, how are we going to get this transformative player that we continue to look for? And granted, they've kind of gotten lucky with the fact that Price and Hayward didn't come, financially. You know, we can go back to Pujols for that too. But how are they going to get that transformative player when it seems like every avenue they take, they run into a brick wall somewhere along the way?
Yeah, I mean, there's not really a simple solution to that. Well, let me back up. There is a solution, and that is that you develop that kind of player. Mm-hmm. But developing that kind of player is very, very hard to do. And you're kind of at the mercy of the talent you have to pick from. And then at that, you're choosing talent based on potential, not necessarily on what they are today. So, that's the route that they tried to take for a long time. And I feel like I've said this every show we've done where we've talked about this, since the season ended, but they thought they had that. They thought they had their homegrown superstar mm-hmm. in Oscar Tavares. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can have this conversation about the Cardinals needing that transformative player without talking about the fact that they thought they were good. They thought they were set. They thought they had that guy in the organization locked in and ready to sort of take on that role in a couple of years. And then they had to start over from square one. They may not have had a very good plan B at that point. So hopefully they're a little more prepared for that this time around. But the point is, if you can't win these battles with money or with trades, that's your other option. And they tried that, and now they've sort of had to circle back around to what most teams do, and that is go out and buy the talent they need.
Yeah, I know that Tavares definitely was a game changer, if you will, or a plan changer. That whole thing knocked them off the course they were at. But you just it just takes a while to get back to it. But you know,
the reaction time was really slow. Don't get me wrong. they've spent a lot of time trying to find other ways to get it done, but.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, they kind of thought they had done that with Hayward. And,
right.
You know, Hayward's season in St. Louis was good. His seasons since then have not been, but, you know, whatever the case, he did not, I mean, I've heard Derek Gould numerous times say, or that basically, Hayward has told him the Cardinals would have matched anything or done whatever he wanted, and he didn't basically ask for him because he didn't really want to come back. And what are you going to do? So yeah, it is good to see the front office being as aggressive as they are. And I don't think that if this goes, and all reports are now that Stanton's decision may come before Wednesday. If he does wind up in San Francisco, which, again, frustrating. and frustrating on so many levels because, you know, if you're leaving Miami because they're not winning and you're going to a team that won 64 games last year.
Not a big upgrade.
I mean, yeah, there's some, you know, extenuating circumstances. And, you know, maybe he was really big believer in the even year magic. I don't know. It could be. But, still, if it doesn't happen for the Cardinals, you figure they've got workings for a plan B or a plan C, and while they may not be as exciting because, pretty much unless they trade for Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, it can't be as exciting as getting Giancarlo Stanton. It still could be a very good deal for the Cardinals and something that could provide some interest and improve this team. I know that you haven't been on Twitter as much. I don't think it matters because I don't think there's anybody been talking too much about what this plan B is. But, I mean, which direction do they go? Do they still need to get that huge impact bat, or can they go out and get, you know, maybe like a Chris Archer and something like that and do the pitching route again?
You know, I sort of find myself going back and forth on this a little bit, and that May not be the most scientific of reactions, not the most measured response. But the reason I say that is that what Giancarlo Stanton would bring to the table is not just his offensive stats. There's an element of, and you use the word transformative, there's an element of change in the dynamic of the Cardinals organization that would come with a deal like that. Whether it's the change in the way that they make deals happen from the front office side of things, or in what the potential is on the field, in the way to that roster, the way the roster is constructed, in the dynamic between the players and management. I just feel like that's the kind of player that will almost single-handedly change a lot of the dynamic that has been such a struggle over the last 3 years. Now, I'm not saying that it solves that. I'm saying that it changes it. Change isn't always in and of itself good. But I think it's no secret that the Cardinals have felt a little stagnant as of late. And that's not just this last season. That's the last, you know, they kind of hit a wall after a number of late postseason runs in a row, and then trying to replace some pretty key players. And we've seen the frustration mount towards some of those players that have been around for all of that, whether it's Matt Carpenter or even in many cases, Adam Wainwright. I think that change is something that needs to happen for this team. So if your plan B to Stanton is just a lesser offensive player, that's great. I'm not sure that's really going to be the change that is the kickstart to this team. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, there's part of me that thinks what the Cardinals need is a tried and true bat in the middle of the order. But if you can't get that guy, if you bring in a guy that's sort of been a complimentary piece that isn't the guy that you build the lineup around in any other city, but in St. Louis, you try to build the lineup around him because you don't have that sort of Albert Pujols type player. I'm not sure that's the level of change that needs to happen. So maybe you do go then and flip over to the pitching side and bring in someone that is similarly dynamic in what they bring to an organization, not just from a talent and skill perspective, but in some of those intangibles, in some of that excitement that comes with a major change, in some of the roster turnover that then has to happen because of that. I think you can sort of get something comparable with a star pitcher if you're looking for some of that change that will happen sort of below the surface because of bringing someone new in, just like you would get from an offensive player. And I don't know that all of that is going to change with a B-level outfielder that they bring in because they didn't get Stanton. If that's the only change, the only right. significant change.
Yeah, it feels like you could bring in Stanton, and you still have to, I mean, they're still probably looking at some sort of reliever, some sort of right. maybe starter, but it didn't have to be earth-shaking. I mean, you could bring back a Juan Nicasio, you could bring back, yep. you know, something like that. But if you don't get Stanton, you need to make 2, 3, 4 moves that add up to a Stanton move.
Yeah.
I guess is what you're getting at. That,
yeah.
It makes sense. I mean, obviously you're going to have to do a lot of different things. And the problem is, from a fan base point of view, 3 or 4 smaller moves that add up to one move are not nearly as much fun, as nearly as exciting, and as nearly as, you know, talk inducing or whatever it may be, as the big, you know, go get Stanton move. And so even though the team may improve, even though the team may be doing something, the fan base may not look at it that way.
Yeah, I mean, fans can find dark cloud to every silver lining, right? I think that's sort of the way that a fan base that has been jilted in the last couple of years tends to react to things. I think it's important to remember that as a fan base, we have it pretty good. Mm-hmm. We don't have the decades-long turmoil, at least in recent history, that a lot of other organizations have. So just to keep that in perspective, there are a lot of places where it would be much harder to be a fan than it is in St. Louis right now. But that said, you know, I'm not trying to be a fan of another team. I'm trying to be a fan of this team. So I want this team to start winning some more games. That'd be great. Maybe not taking so many years off my life in the process. But you're right. I think there will be fans who are not happy no matter what happens. Mm-hmm. Even if they get Stanton, it'll be too much money, or they'll have given up too many prospects, or whatever the case may be. That's just sort of the nature of the game. But the impact that this decision will have on some of those things, like, I mean, we've talked about ticket sales. You bring Stanton into the mix, people are going to want to be at that game just because you're never going to know what might happen that night. And there's a buzz, there's an electricity that you can't create in just about any other way than bringing in, some sort of added level of entertainment to the game. So there's always going to be that, but I think there's also going to be a feeling if the Cardinals don't end up with Stanton that somehow the team failed again. Whether that's fair or not, that's going to be this attached perception that is kind of the tag along to whatever else they do over this offseason. It's not going to, you know, the off brand isn't ever quite the same, even if it's basically the same product at the end of the day. And that's just the reality of the, opinionated world that we live in, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's a good thing. You know, I think from what I can tell, at least from what Derek Gould said, what other people said, the information that we're getting about the Cardinals involved in this is not coming from the Cardinals, which is pretty normal. But there is more. I mean, there are a number of times, I think, in the past where they could have made a deal like, tried to make a deal like this, and we wouldn't have known if they put given up the best prospects or if they had done the money. And so there's information out there that I think a lot of fans, even ones that are fairly critical of the front office, are willing to say, look, they did what they could here. Now, not everybody. You're right. There's always going to be somebody that blames everybody. Some people were complaining about the fact they shouldn't have ever gone after Stanton because there was no way he was coming here.
If John Mozeliak could just install a beach somewhere in the vicinity of Busch Stadium, that'd be great. If he could just do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Then we wouldn't have anything to complain about.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know what's taking him so long.
He's got to go get his bow ties and stuff.
Right. Know,
that's what everybody thinks. But you know, I think, I mean, except for the slightly unhinged fringe, everybody, I think, is going to say, okay, we get it. You tried on Stanton. He didn't want to come here. What can you do? But there's still going to be that, okay, now what? And there's going to have to be some significant stuff done. I mean, that's what we've heard all year long. This is going to be a, you know, moves and turnover and change. And so far, we don't have Alamedes Diaz. And that's about the difference.
It's a solid start.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you know, I don't want to fault the front office too much because nobody else's front office has done anything yet either. You know, this has been like the slowest hot stove, I think, ever. And maybe once Stanton moves, once the winter meetings come around a week from tomorrow, maybe things will start happening. They about have to, but so I can't say that they're falling behind because, you know, nobody's come off the board yet. But it still feels like, you know, they're going to have to do, you know, they're going to get a pass on Stanton for most people because they did their best. But that doesn't mean they get a pass on the whole offseason.
Right. The reality is, whether they land Stanton or not, there are other things that need to be taken care of. It's very evident and certainly reasonable that Stanton is the top priority for any team that's interested in him right now, and everything else they do depends heavily on what the decision of Giancarlo Stanton is in the next couple of days. So he's kind of holding up the whole off-season puzzle at this point. And I fully expect that once he is off the board, that a lot of other things start to fall into place for a lot of other teams. But the Cardinals can't be so single-minded that they forget about what some of those other issues were. And I think it's also significant to realize that they secured a lot of their field staff positions pretty early on. So that wasn't something that was lingering and hanging on. I mean, a lot of teams did that once the World Series was over and a lot of those vacancies were made known. Those pieces started to move pretty quickly. But the Cardinals have, like we said, in the past sort of waited around and kind of missed out on some opportunities. And they certainly didn't do that with Maddux, and they announced all of those roles quite quickly. And I think that is a pretty relevant part in their off-season approach that seems to be a bit more direct and a bit more aggressive and more decisive in the way that they're going about their business. So once Stanton's decision is finalized, whether they have a plan B that also involves the Marlins, because it's no secret that some of their other outfielders have been in play, or if their plan B is to go somewhere else and bring in a reasonably capable hitter and then make the big splash with a pitcher. I mean, all of those things are great to discuss, to think about, to plan, but they can't make any moves in that direction until they know what happens with Stanton.
Right. Yeah, it feels like we're coming to that point where we're going to actually have some resolution here, and whatever it may be, whether it's, you know, the Cardinals going to start printing up a whole bunch of Stanton jerseys to sell for Christmas, or they've got to move on, something's going to happen, and hopefully pretty soon. Hopefully it's positive for the Cardinals, but we'll wait and see. We've taken, I think, more than our share of time tonight. There's only so much. You'd think there's only so much about Giancarlo Stanton as we could talk about, but we seem to find stuff every
and yet
week.
Here we are, 6 weeks later, still yes, talking about
still
it.
Doing it. Tara and I will be with you next week. It will be right before the winter meetings. We will hopefully be talking about, hopefully we're talking about the new Cardinal outfielder, but that will be our last show.
Not the minor league one.
Not the minor
way.
League. Yeah, not we that. Probably will not be talking about JB Woodman very much. From what it sounds like, does not sound like that's a name that we'll be, you know, speaking of for any length of time anywhere else. So Tara and I will be with you next week. That's the 10th. That will be our last show for 2017. We'll talk about the winter meetings. We may talk a little bit about the year wrapped up. But until then, I'm Daniel, and that's Tara. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.